Welcome to Bobcat Radio on KTSW San Marcos.
Don't read handoff. Frank's got room across the 40. Running right inside.
That's for Hyatt. Another round around third. Pickett driving into third base. A triple. Scores two runs in the Bobcat. Foul lead it.
Well, that one swung on. Head out towards left field. That ball is going back to the wall. And that ball is gone.
A grand slam from Corbin.
Two runs in the Bobcat. Foul lead it. 9-8 here in the bottom of the seventh inning.
Good morning and welcome to your Wednesday edition of Bobcat Radio. I'm your host, Ishmael Johnson. In the studio, we got a full house again, just like usual. Warren Shore.
How's it going? This is like my kind of Jordan flu game. Little under the weather today. That's what I was thinking. Little
You're
Jordan
not
flu
Jordan.
Game. Hey, no one needs to know that.
I thought
no
we
needs
settled this.
That.
Like anyway, we got Kirk Jones.
How's it going, everybody?
And back, missing last week. The foursome is complete again. Otis Ovegaru.
Woo! We're coming back for our championship, man. I had to cover signing day last week. It was fun. Got some good recruits, and I'm back.
Alrighty, cool. So we're going to get started with the name drop. We got a great show, some Olympics coverage as well. Later on, we have some possibly some Michael Sam talk. A little bit of, I'm excited to talk about Matt Lauer replacing Bob Costas. We got some talk on the Browns shakeup and some other things, so... But first, we're going to get started with the name drop. My name drop, I always try to go a little outside the bubble. Last week, I believe I had, I had John Schneider last week. I had a wrestler, Daniel Bryan, before. This week, I got Holly Rowe from how she handled that court storming, Kansas State, Kansas. I got to give her props for that because Kansas State, the fans stormed the court. She had to conduct that post-game interview somewhere. So she hops on the scoring table with the players, conducts it from up there, has some guy holding her up on the back because she's like on the edge, and she conducts her interview. And one of the players asks her, "You okay? Can I help you down?" He's like, "No, I got it." And she just like shoves him out the way and just like gets down on her own, weaves her way out of there. I got to give credit for that, because, like, any other would have been like, let them storm the court, whatever, they're fine. Like, no, she went up there, she was, like, hanging on with them, and it was pretty cool to see Holly Rowe just kind of not getting beat for that interview.
That is some dedicated work right there
I would have went home. Oh, I can't get, they're on the table, like, I'm done.
She's vicious. Didn't she do something one time? She, like, pushed a reporter out of the
way. Yeah, she is.
She wants her story, man.
That ESPN pedigree. She's like, get out of the way, my turn.
She's the tough one there. Yeah. All right, my name drop. Actually, I think our first show I name dropped this guy.
Uh-oh.
PGA Tour, Jimmy Walker?
Yeah.
I did, first show. Well, that's my name drop again. He won his third event of the year this past weekend at Pebble Beach, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Okay, so he's been in 8 events this year. He's won 3. Only 4 other golfers have won 3 events. Or in the first 8 events they've entered, they've won 3. Tiger has done it 8 times. And the other two people have done it. David Duvall in the 90s, in late 90s when he had his run before his body just lost it. And then Phil Mickelson was the other guy. And Jimmy Walker, this is a pretty amazing story, like I said. He hadn't won. He's been on the year for like 10-year journeyman. He hadn't won an event before this year, and this is his third event. He's probably going to make the Ryder Cup team. He's just leading by so many points in the FedEx Cup. He's got like a 600-point lead, not that that matters right now, but he's going to make it. He's probably going to make the Tour Championship. This is really an amazing story.
Yeah, he's having a great year. I mean, 2 name drops. it's not usual that we get two golf players and then the same golf player that's not Tiger Woods. I mean, that's actually
especially
great.
Jimmy Walker.
Yeah, like, Jimmy Walker.
I saw him at a couple events I've gone to, like at the Byron Nelson. I saw him. Hey, and you're going down the tee sheet. Who do you want to watch? Oh, Jimmy Walker. Yeah, let's just.
Just do it.
Yeah. No, you just say, let's wait for the next group.
Oh, okay.
Because this was before. You're like, maybe you've heard of him. All right. But no, this is pretty amazing. And at Pebble Beach. All right, so he's growing on the courses he's won. Like, he won at the Fries.
Yeah.
And then in Hawaii. And now Pebble Beach. That's like the pinnacle. If you're a golfer, you need to play Pebble Beach because it is just amazing.
All right, my name drop is Nolan Ryan. Oh. He's returning, not fully to baseball, but he's an advisor for the Houston Astros. So Houston Astros fans can't get too excited. I mean, he's not moving there. He doesn't have an office there. I mean, he has little projects, whatever that means. I don't know what little projects mean, but he's still going to live in Georgetown, where his home is now. He still owns the Round Rock Express. So Reed, his son's probably going to call him up and say, "Hey, Dad, what do you think I should do with this trip?" I mean, it's not like he's going to be, I think only thing he's got a huge hand in it, but they will ask him for advice. That's what an advisory role does. So I guess you can get a little excited if you're a Houston fan, but not too excited.
Well, I follow the team closely.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, I don't insider information, but he's not just an advisor to Reed. He's an advisor to the owner and a general manager. And I think
the general manager is Reed.
No,
he's the president.
He's the president of business operations. Yeah. So he's in charge of the business stuff. I think Nolan is going to end up getting that office. I think it's a transition. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to end up. He can't stay away, and he's being an advisor to all three of them. So he's going to have his hand in everything. Eventually, they'll give him some title like VP or something like
just
that.
Burn the Astros last time to go to the Rangers.
Yeah, he did. He did.
He was in the office already and then left for the Rangers. Now he's doing it to the Rangers.
Yeah,
now,
the last owner didn't want him to become part owner, and he wanted some ownership stake, and so he left to go be part of that ownership group for the Rangers.
And he's just collecting a paycheck, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Nice paycheck. Executive assistant or advisor.
Yeah. 67.
It doesn't matter for him. He just wants the income coming in so Ruth can go on, like, shopping sprees and everything like that. Keep the wife happy.
Well, I don't know if you guys did this last week, but my name drops Adam Silver. And it's not because he's doing anything crazy. He just made a really good move. A replacement for Kobe Bryant was Anthony Davis.
Yep.
And I completely agree. Anthony Davis is averaging like 20.7. He's like 15th in the NBA in scoring. He's getting 10.3 rebounds a game. It's top 10, I believe. And he leads the league in block shots at 3.1 and is shooting over 50% from the field. I could argue that he should finish not just top five in the MVP race, but top three. If you go look, hold on, before Warren starts doing his I can make a case because I believe it's Nate Horowitz or the guys that do the PER.
Yeah.
His player efficiency rating is right there. He is a very efficient player. Now, the only thing is that he doesn't have the surrounding cast around him in New Orleans like you'd like, but I believe they're actually like a game out, if not eighth spot, in the Western Conference or something like that. So they're close a little bit, I thought.
They're 22 and 29.
They're 22 and 29. Yeah. Well, if they played in the Eastern Conference, they'd be the eighth spot.
Doesn't matter. They're in the West.
But he's playing really well. I'm glad he's an all-star. His player efficiency rating is really good, and hopefully hopefully in the future they can get the right pieces around him and he can continue to be successful.
I think he should have made it outright. I thought he should have made the All-Star team outright. I don't think he should have had to rely on Adam Silver to replace Kobe. I don't know. Like he's having, like you said, he's having a great season. You can argue that he's like, I don't know. If you don't take, I mean, I'm trying to figure out a way to say this because it's you can argue that him and Kevin Love and Aldridge have just kind of separated themselves from the pack as far as power forwards go. You
Blake
can make
Griffin?
An argument, Blake Griffin too. Yeah, excuse me, Blake Griffin too. You can argue. I mean, you can make an argument for each one of those guys, including Davis, who the best power forward in the NBA is right now. And it's crazy that this guy's second year. He's 20 or like I don't know if he's 20 yet. I think
something
he's 20,
like that. 2021. Yeah.
Like this is crazy, and it still baffles me that he's still working with a body that he just got his senior year of high school. He was 6'1 or something like that, heading 6'3 or something, heading into his junior year of high school. He just had an amazing growth spurt, became one of the top recruits, I think the number two recruit behind Drummond.
He was a top recruit before he got the growth spurt. Yeah, he had a scholarship.
He only had one offer, and that was from Cleveland State. That was the only offer.
But John Calipari did say that, hey, if he would have stayed like that and he would have kept developing, Kentucky would have still looked at him anyway. Obviously, hindsight's 2020, but he was still a decent player before he was, you know, before he got the growth spurt. So it's not like he was some scrub. He just decided to put it together with his height and was able to go.
Because he was a point guard before.
Right.
And I think that's what's helped him the most. Because, I mean, he's not a great shooter. He doesn't have a great post game yet, but he can move in the game. Like, offensively, he knows when to cut. He knows when to call for the lob because no one can stop him when he goes for the lob. He has a shot that he can knock down. It's not amazing, but he can cut to the rim. He has a decent turnaround hook, but most of the time he just moves within the flow of the game, and that's that point guard mentality. So